morning. My name is Mindy Clemens. Thank you to Pastor Craig for introducing me. This morning, I want to talk about freedom. Freedom is a wonderful word. It's a powerful concept. It's something that we celebrate. And sometimes we say freedom is not free. Well, what does that mean? It means freedom is something we fight for, something that's earned in battle, something we work hard to maintain. Freedom is not free. We celebrate freedom and we work together to keep freedom and to keep peace. What is the opposite of freedom? Is it slavery? Is it being stuck, being imprisoned, maybe, enslaved or trapped? Have you ever known someone who was really stuck? Maybe trapped in a pattern of behavior? Maybe that someone is somebody in your family, somebody you know. Maybe it's you. Struggling to find freedom is a frustrating thing. It feels very helpless. Well, you're not alone. The nation of Israel also got stuck in a behavior cycle that was so frustrating and destructive for them. Let me read this morning, if you'll read with me, from Judges chapter 2. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord has done for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Judges 2, 7 to 13, the word of God for the people of God. So what's going on in this story? What's happening here? We've been reading in Joshua for the last month, and in Joshua, the nation of Israel was strong. They had a strong leader. They followed God in obedience and wholeheartedness. They worshiped him alone. They obeyed his instructions. God gave them great success. The book of Joshua is mostly stories of victory. The Battle of Jericho, the day the sun stood still. This was good stuff. We're like, yeah, go team. Under the inspired leadership of Joshua, the people of Israel marched into a land that had been promised to them, and they had victory after victory. It was a great success story. But now what? Joshua's dead. The next generation, they don't know God. And they don't care a whole lot for God's instructions either. Maybe kind of just shrugging their shoulders. Maybe saying, did God really say we can't worship idols at the top of the hill? Did God really say I shouldn't marry this girl from a different nation? She's cute. Did God really say, do you hear the echoes of Genesis chapter 3, of Eve's question? Did God really say? Did God really say? And they were like, meh, I know we're not supposed to do that, but is it really that important? And they begin to compromise. They begin to be apathetic towards the instructions of God. They begin to act like everyone else around them. You've heard the saying, bad company corrupts good character. And indeed it does. Bad company will corrupt good character. The text says they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And as we read through Judges this month, I want you to watch for the phrase, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Because that's what happened to the nation of Israel. They worshiped other gods. Not just worshiped other gods. The text says they went after them. They chased them. They pursued things they were not supposed to pursue. And they bowed down in honor to them and served them. They abandoned the Lord. That's not good. They were really quick to forget. And God warned them what would happen if they persisted in rebellion. We continue to read in Judges 2, and it says, "So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers who plundered them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies, so they could no longer withstand their enemies. And when they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for harm, as the Lord had warned and as the Lord had sworn to them. And they were in terrible distress." God's response to their apathy, to their compromise, to their disobedience, to their rebellion, he was angry, and he was justly angry. He sold them into the hands of their enemies. They lost battles, they lost territory, they were weakened, and then they lost their freedom, and they were enslaved to oppressive kings, and they were in terrible distress. This is not a good story. However, Judges 2 continues, "Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of those who plundered them. In their distress, they called out to God, and he heard them. He raised up judges for them." Now, this is not a judge like we think today. A judge in this context is a deliverer, frequently a military leader, someone who overthrows an oppressive regime and sets the people free. We will meet some very interesting characters in the book of Judges. They're not always role models or heroes, but they're very interesting. In fact, I don't know if we have any left-handed people in the room. You raise your hand, probably your left hand, right? There's my lefties. I see you. So you will meet Ehud. He was a left-handed warrior. And because he kept his sword on the opposite side, he sneaks into the king's throne room and kills off a king. You'll have to read the story for yourself. But lefties, it's a good story. How about any strong women in this room? We are going to read the story of Deborah, who was a military leader. She's one of my favorite female characters in the Bible. How about younger siblings? Are any of you the youngest in your family? We've talked a lot about Caleb in recent weeks. Well, Caleb had a younger brother. His name was Othniel, and he becomes a military leader, a deliverer who sets Israel free. Does anybody in here get nervous a lot, really unsure of things? Gideon is your guy. Gideon is gonna struggle with what God asks him to do. And we sympathize with Gideon. And then there's Samson. Samson's kind of a mess, but we'll get to that story eventually. It is amazing the people that God uses. As one of my friends said, if this was a reality TV show, I would totally watch it. Because Judges is a mess. It would be rated R. God raises up very interesting people to save them from their trouble, and they would have peace and freedom for a decade or two or three. And then they persist in disobedience and rebellion, and they forget, and they find themselves in terrible distress again. There's a quote, maybe you know it, that says, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And this is going to be Israel's story in the book of Judges, the book of deliverers. For more than 350 years, they cannot seem to get it together. And it kind of makes a cycle as you read through the book of Judges, and this is what it looks like. There's disobedience, and in disobedience, they find themselves defeated and in a place of distress. And they cry out to God, and he delivers them, and then there's peace. And there's freedom for a period of time. And then they disobey again. And it is an endless downward spiral of defeat. Why does the Bible even have stories like this? Such dysfunctional characters who cannot ever seem to get it together. Well, the book of Judges was written as a warning for us, a warning about compromise, a warning about disobedience. What started with apathy and just chasing the wrong things, the wrong gods, becomes a cycle of rebellion and failure. It becomes a loss of freedom. And eventually, it becomes completely destructive. The end of the book of Judges is shocking. There's civil war. there's a priest and a prostitute. It's a terrible story. You'll have to read it on your own. It's very sad. And we ask the question, how did this happen to the nation of Israel? Israel didn't wake up one day and said, let's be slaves again. No one ever thinks, I would like to live in a place of distress and defeat. No, it's actually a slow fade. Casting Crowns wrote a song called Slow Fade. I'd like you to see the lyrics. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white have turned to gray. Thoughts invade, choices are made. A price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. People never crumble in a day. Israel never said, let's be slaves again. That was a good time. No. Israel made a series of choices, and those choices brought them to a place of great distress. So when you think about the judges cycle and you look at this disobedience, defeat, distress, deliverance, disobedience again and again, does it remind you of patterns in your own life? Does it remind you of patterns in the life of someone in your family or someone that you know? You see, all of us struggle with sin patterns like this. And we typically think of a cycle like this of someone that's struggling with alcohol or with drug use or maybe with pornography. Those are the cycles we think of. But it can also be patterns of other things. It can be patterns of anger. Just that anger that you wish you could stop, but it's a cycle for you. Or maybe it's a pattern of anxiety. It's just overwhelming, and you find yourself there again, and you wish that you weren't there, but there you are. Or a cycle of complaining or bitterness, that person you love to hate. It's a cycle of bitterness, a cycle of lying, cycles of spending money recklessly or gambling, impatience. It can be anything. Any behavior pattern that becomes cyclical for us that is not healthy and leaves us in a place of distress and defeat. How do we feel when we're in a cycle like that? We feel frustrated, we feel defeated, hopeless, shame, because here we are again and we wish we weren't here again. Regret, I wish I wasn't caught in this. Is there hope? Is it possible to walk in freedom? Yes. Yes, there is hope, and yes, it is possible to walk in freedom. I would like to show you two more things from the text today as we continue through Judges chapter 2. You see, the thing about the book of Judges is it's not really about the judges. It's a book that reveals to us the character of God. God is the only true hero in Judges. He's a God of mercy, of patience, and power. He's a God who loves even the most dysfunctional among us. He's a God that wants us to walk in freedom. Judges chapter 2 goes on to say, whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of the enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. What do you see about the character of God here? He heard their groans. He heard their cries. He had pity. He was compassionate. He shows them mercy, and he raises up a deliverer for them. He provides a way out for them. He intervenes. This is the character of the God that we serve. Incredibly patient, time and time again. He's the God who gives everyone many opportunities. He desires that his people live in freedom. So if we find ourselves stuck in a cycle like this, remember the character of God. He is patient and compassionate with us. We read in Exodus 34 a picture of the character of God, and it says, the Lord is compassionate, gracious God. He's slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He welcomes the prodigal home again and again and again. That is great news for us. This is the God that we serve. He wants us to come back to him, and he never gets tired of taking us back, even if we're caught in this cycle. We also know elsewhere in Scripture that in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power of sin over us is broken. Jesus himself said, "God has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed." And Paul writes in Romans 6, "Thanks be to God, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." Through Jesus, these cycles of sin can be broken. We do not have to live in slavery to sin. That is great news. We can walk in freedom. The prison doors for us in the work of Christ have been opened. We also know that God has given us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit convicts us. He warns us of things that are sinful and dangerous for us, but he also gives us strength and courage and help and direction so that we can find our way. The presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives makes it possible for us to walk in freedom. Peter writes in 2 Peter, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. He's given us very great precious promises. Through them, we may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires." God has given us everything we need. If you feel trapped in a cycle of sin, know that the prison door has been opened in the work of Christ, and we have been given everything that we need. We have hope because of God's compassion and because of his mercy. We have hope because the power of sin over us has been broken. And we have hope because the Holy Spirit helps us to walk in freedom. You see, what we learn in Judges is the depth of God's great mercy for us, continually offered to people who don't deserve it and who don't appreciate it. The second thing I want to show you in the text as we continue is that we have to do our part. God has done his part, but we have to do our part. Judges chapter 2 continues like this: "But whenever the judge died, they turned back, and they were more corrupt than their fathers, going after other gods, serving them, bowing down to them. They did not abandon any of their practices or their stubborn ways." Did you see that? They didn't abandon any of their practices or their stubborn ways. He saved them, and they went right back to what they were doing. They didn't do anything differently. They didn't learn from their mistakes. They kept on in rebellion, making things complicated, sabotaging their own lives and their freedom. The door to the prison cell has been opened in the work of Christ. It is our responsibility to stand up and walk out in freedom. The work has been done. We have to choose to live differently and not to return to the prison that we once lived in. We read in Hebrews 12, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus." And verse 4, "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." It's our responsibility to lay aside the sin that entangles us. It's our responsibility to resist sin to the point of shedding blood. We have the help of the Holy Spirit in that, but we have to actually do it. It is our responsibility. And y'all, I know behavior change is really, really hard. It's really hard to do things differently, especially if it's been a cycle that's been a part of your life or your family's life for a long time. It's so hard to do it differently, but it's so worth it to be free. So how do we walk in freedom? Just a couple practical thoughts for you. It starts with identifying what is going on. Can you put a name to it? Can you share it with somebody else and say, "Gosh, I'm just stuck. I hate being stuck. I don't want to be stuck, but here I am. This is my story." Make a fighting plan. How are you going to live differently? If you don't have a plan, you for sure ain't going to execute the plan. How are you going to live differently? You got to learn how to fight. You got to spend time with others who are warriors, others who are fighting. I know somewhere in your head, the enemy is telling you you're the only person that's ever had to deal with this issue, and that is a lie. In this church, every single one of us have had issues, and there are definitely people who have wrestled with whatever it is that you are wrestling with. You are not alone, and you need to find somebody to walk with you. Do that, because it's part of being free. You've got to deal a death blow to sin. A lot of Judges is about, you know, the death blow and using whatever you have to win. And Judges, it might be a sword, it might be an ox goad or something like that. But whatever it takes for you to win, do that. It's so worth it. It's a lot of work. But the door to the prison cell has been opened. Stand up and walk out. Do the work that it takes to be free. You see, the book of Judges was written, one, as a warning to us about the danger of compromise and that downward spiral of disobedience that leaves us in a place of defeat and distress. But the book of Judges was also written as a reminder to us about the character of God, his mercy, his grace, his compassion, his desire for us to walk in freedom, and his ability to help us to set us free for that. God desires that we walk in freedom. With his help, we can break those sin cycles in our lives. In the words of Joshua, be strong, be courageous, walk in freedom. It's there for you. I didn't say it was going to be easy. I said it was worth it.